And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For our last half hour, we're going to be talking with local resident Frank Carroll, who I think the first time Frank contacted me was about Apodaca Park. Is that right? The pickleball courts there?
Correct. And yeah, we talked about the construction and the makeover.
And at that time, I think it's fair to say that pickleball players were so happy to have a new facility that I think they were ready to overlook. It is just my opinion. But all I heard at that time was how great and wonderful and terrific it was. And at the same time, you were taking a look at some of the construction and finding certainly it was terrific for pickleball players that we have this new facility, but it wasn't. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Let's start with Apodaca Park because that's the first one I'm familiar with. What were your concerns with that construction?
Sure. As a construction background and other backgrounds of working in my careers, now retired in my eighth decade of living.
Yes, so congratulations for that.
That gives you some idea of my background. But anyway, so because of my building construction background, I'm always concerned about ADA. I'm concerned about wasting of money and how to do projects and putting restraints on the people that's doing the work for us and follow-up. But the most thing I find unacceptable in the last 3 years I've been working on this subject here is unaccountability in the park systems. It's not just one park, it's all the parks. So this summer, for the last 3 years, for example, I've been trying to get water fountains working in the parks, seven parks, and so far I've had zero success. Now, we live in the Southwest, of course, and we cannot afford to be living in or working and playing in facilities that don't have water. So I take this to our new
Well, before you go on, which part? So there are water fountains there, but they just don't work.
Exactly. For example, during these youth activities in Hardy Field and those over there, you go over there, and they don't meet OSHA standards, of course, and there's no plans by Mr. Bingham to do anything. Now there was promises, but there's no plans on paper. And this really gets back, you don't want to get into a scenario of just complaining. You want to get into a scenario of actual planning, actual financing, and then actual results, and then accountability for the original reason of the subject. So Mr. Bingham, I've contacted him 3 years about trying to get water in Apodaca for at least 100 people that use the facility every day during the summertime. And yes, it was going to happen. Well, no, it never happened 3 years ago. It never happened in year two after more and more reminders. And then this last year, I wrote the council a letter, all the council members on 13 August, and I explained them the situation just on that particular point. There's a lot of other points of safety and ADA and other things that are not being taken care of. But just on this one particular thing, because of the temperatures we have in the Southwest and the people actually need water, there's a responsibility of the cities to provide water for the facility that they build. It's part of the overall plan. So Mr. Bingham has been very remiss in those categories. And I want to talk about accountability. So we talk about the various parks we built. For example, East Mesa. Is it over budget and out of time frame to be for completion? Absolutely.
The East Mesa Recreational
Park. East Mesa
complex.
New Recreational right. Park. Is there any accountability to the public? Can anyone attest to that? Zero. There's no. And the man that was running that project got promoted to assistant city manager. You know, it's these type of things. I worked with Ms. Delgado for a long time. And on the subjects in Apodaca. And we had zero results, okay? We had a lot of promises. We had zero results. A lot of reasons, a lot of excuses, but zero results. So we can't live with that, but she got promoted to assistant city manager also. So these type of things in a governmental type situation where we have managers that come in and they work for the government, and we know about working for the government. Now, I can speak to that because I worked for the government for over 20 years in a capacity where I was an advisor in contractors and contracting fraud and things of that sort. So I can tell you that we must be more responsive to the people. And this is my point in coming in today, is not so much to bring as a complainer, but after years, if I can show you examples of years and paperwork of showing the city the pictures, the actual, I could give the testimonies of the people that say, no, we have no shade there. We have no shade screens. We have no ADA. We can't take an ADA person there because we can't push them through the rocks. We can't have anything ADA there because it's not accessible. Now, you would say, are you an expert in ADA? Well, I'm sort of an expert, knowing my OSHA standards. But then I brought in a state inspector, being a veteran. I brought in a state inspector from the through the Veterans Association to address ADA because I wanted to have a veterans activities at Apodaca. And they came down from the state, and they did a thorough survey, and they also surveyed the ball field, Paz and Hardy, and a few of those ball fields or recreational areas, and they was appalled too. They wrote an extensive report, and I have a copy of that, and I can show you today where it still hasn't been fulfilled. Now, why isn't it not fulfilled? And I want to get back to this question of accountability. Now, when I was in the Parks Board, I worked for Mr. Johnson, who preceded Ms. Delgado and Mr. Bingham. This person came out of Seattle, very, very conscientious person, where their park systems up there were just first class. And he was very conscientious. And what he did is he put up a large whiteboard. And every time people would come to the public service meetings and voice their concerns about T-ball, kids' activities and things of this, he would put it on the right side of the board. That would never go down until he addressed the problem from the Parks Board. And any problem that he brought up, or the Parks Board, we gave to him in relaying messages from other concerned citizens about any topic. In today's world, we have none of that. That's all we have is empty, we're going to look into it, we're going to get back to you, or leave a message on a recorder. Now, when I wrote the city council on 13 August, I have to say that I got two responses from Mr. Maltese and another young lady. I forgot her name right off the top of my head. But there was only two responses. And they were positive. Yes, that's correct. We need water in the parks. It's August. The temperatures exceed 100 degrees many times during the summer days. It's unheard of in a city with a budget over $700 million. In a city, in a parks department that has the largest budget in the city, that we can't provide water. So this goes back to accountability, because when we have no way from the citizens now to get our projects on a whiteboard that's never erased until it's addressed officially. That's our problem. And I'm sure many people come in here and talk about many, many projects, such as roads, upgrades of other things in the neighborhoods, and the people come in and voice their concerns about curbing and other issues, but they just never get addressed. So this is my main reason for coming in and filling this spot with Mr. Rubel, who I respect from the days of the Sun News when he was an excellent editorial commenter, and now doing official work, I think, with the Bulletin. So he's concerned. Others are concerned. But it gets back to the word accountability. So we have to figure out in our city how we are going to address the public when they bring concerns in. Now, if we had an open line and we had callers call in, I'm sure we would have a long list of callers who used to use the term sound off in the paper, which we had,
right,
which was immediately eliminated when the paper was sold. That sound off did more for the city. It was kind of like a moving whiteboard, a living whiteboard. And you could not the city could not get away from it. And there was many, many problems solved. But we don't have that today. And we have to address that today with the city council and the mayor. What they do now in their activities, I'll just briefly touch, get out of parks for a minute and talk about their activities and how inept they are in some of the things that they do. So they address their subjects now in resolutions. Resolutions, when they come to the council meetings, are resolution with a number on it, and the public can sit there, and there's very little time that's dedicated to ask any questions or any rebuttal because it's already cut and dry that it was an approved resolution that already went out. They went to the council who will vote on it. They already know the voting on it when it comes to the council meeting. So I'll just give an example of one. So I looked up the other day. There was a contract come out on a resolution, and the city was putting it up, and they had already pre-approved it in the back room on Wednesday's work session. And I looked it up and said, well, there was a movie to promote movies and movie productions in Las Cruces. Mm-hmm. And it was what caught my attention, because I'm a contract analyst when I worked in the government, was it was a sole source contract. Now, sole source means that there's no bidding. You just award it to someone that you think is going to do the job. Now, sole source is a very touchy subject, both in state government, federal government, because it's supposed to be for emergencies. If you have a tree fall down in the street, you can immediately let a contract for someone to come in and clear that, that has the capability of doing it in a safe way. But this was not that type of issue. So I looked up the LLC it was assigned to. And it was an $87,000 contract, automatically renewable in 2 years. I said, wow, that's phenomenal. So I looked up the LLC, and I want to know why it went sole source, because that could have went out to the street for bid, could have went out to the street, and we could have had NMSU theater and those type of people bid on that. We have qualified college students there that would love to take that on and have a budget such as that. But instead, we gave it to an LLC with three people, headed up by who else but Senator Steinborn. Oh, that was never on the resolution. That never came up. Was never brought up in any sessions. But so he picked off over $170,000 in 2 years, auto funds, just to do whatever he thought was best to promote movies and get more movie productions in Las Cruces. So this type of government has to stop. We have to have something called accountability. Now, I'm not the only one that can come to this microphone and talk about different subjects. If the public was allowed, or we had a sound off, we would.
I, as the guy who edited sound off every day, I have a kind of a love hate relationship with it. I appreciate what you're saying, but let's get back to. So we've got water fountains all over the city that don't work. You go to the city and hey, what's it going to take to get this water fountain working? What do they tell you?
Well, first of all, they will rarely write back an email when I discuss it with Mr. Bingham, because they don't want to be on paper for anything.
That's probably right.
And if they do, they might say something on the phone that we're looking into it. If you go to the front desk and present your problem with a piece of paper and give it to them so they can't throw it away, it's the same thing. It just goes into space. So it gets back to the word of accountability. When valid things come to the city, which concern safety, OSHA, ADA, we have to have some kind of accountability. You know, we have architects in the city. Now, how does architects figure into this? For example, when Madrid Avenue was being redone just 2 years ago, and then was finished about a year ago, they disconnected the water fountain at Apodaca. And that was the reason we didn't have water there for a while. But then when they put the new water line in, they never reconnected it. Now we have architectural reviews. Okay, that was a mistake. And we can say that, yes, it could have been an oversight. But in the oversight, there's a way in construction to say we have a rebuild and we have an amendment. We have to go in and fix this right away because we took it out. We got to put it back. But this doesn't happen in Las Cruces. There's no way to – there's no accountability in public works to do these things. The architects sign off on these plans, and when you call them to a mistake, it just goes into space. So this is Walter and I talked about Sandoff. Like you said, he had a love-hate relationship. But it was a place where the people could actually voice real concerns. Many of them were not real concerns. Many of them were about editorial people writings. But that's not. But the ones that had real issues and real valid issues were never addressed. There's never a whiteboard by the city to put it up on the right side and someday be erased.
Well, so I had a question about, because you said you went directly to city staff, right?
And, oh, absolutely.
And
council.
Right. And there wasn't much response, right? And then you went to city council as well. You said you wrote to city councilors and they responded. But was there no assurance from the city councilors stating that they were going to, or we same sort of like, we're going to look into it, we'll get back to you kind of response?
They were forwarded to the to the city manager.
It's the same person you already spoke with.
Yes.
Right.
And the city manager, of course, I wrote him an email also, and he never responded because they just refused to respond to people. Now, I can attest to, you can't respond to everyone, and you can't be detailed with everyone because then you're held up in a promise that maybe you can't keep. Mm-hmm. But there is such a thing as follow-up. For example, Walter's following up with me after 3 months. He said, hey, I got an issue here. I think we can bring it up. We got a time slot. It seems to be valid.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do those things, but we're not doing them in the city today. And if there's not, there's no accountability. Now, you watch in December what happens when we have the wording come up to give everyone in the city their bonuses. You watch who gets the bonuses. And what percent to what directives? Now, someone that can't do their job doesn't belong with bonuses just because they say that we're just going to give everybody a bonus. Mm-hmm. It's just not right. We have to have accountability.
I know that several years ago the city actually brought in ADA, people who did that for a living, and they went all around the city and they found all kinds of examples where we were not ADA compliant. At that time, there was at least lip service to paying, to fixing those problems. As we sit now, what are the most egregious areas you think where the city is not in ADA compliance and could potentially be vulnerable or liable?
Well, I'll speak to probably the most glaring one, I think, that affects the downtown area. In some areas don't have ADA capabilities, okay? And then in the park systems, if you have a state report that says you're not ADA capable and just ignore it, what's the accountability back to the state? They say they don't have to get back to it. They have to do what the state says. Now, we have people here in the city who say they are ADA certified under OSHA standards. But when I ask for those certifications, they said, well, we don't really have them, so they really don't have them. Now, when plans come into the city for builders to build facilities, they're pretty rough on OSHA standards and ADA. But when the city does work or the city contracts work out, there is absolutely no inspections, I can tell you. In fact, the new Peachtree low-income housing out at East Mesa, you'll see that in them contracts, the contractor asked for limited inspections, limited fees, waived the fees for inspections. Okay? And you'll see that. In that context, we spent over $200 million this year on low-income housing, and we can't get a water fountain. So for people of the city who want a service, who are capable of paying taxes every single year, and you can't get a water fountain in 3 years, I want Mr. Bingham to come to this show, and I want him to explain it to the people, because proof is in the fact that it's still not there after 3 years, and we have documentation asking for it for 3 years.
We do have a phone call, so we're going to need to put our headphones on. And caller, give us just a minute here. Get these turned up. Okay, yeah, go ahead and make your point.
Morning. Yes, Gregory Shiranek. I'd like to address Plant, and he's actually very correct concerning the Parks Board and the Parks Director and the City Manager concerning what's going on in our parks and whether or not there is transparency. I would like everyone to please look at or listen to the last city council meeting, which happened December the 1st, which was Monday, and look at the legislative objects that they would like the state to fund us. 80% of them are for the parks. There is no oversight. We're going to build a brand new recreational center off Tesharo for the public. Money is being spent on properties that no one knows about. We're being sued for the skate park at the off Hadley Street, and the park board has no idea about these items. And in fact, the park board has canceled the last two meetings because they don't want to talk about it. So if you would please look at what the state legislature is being asked for by our city, and then demand from your city councilors and the park board their notification that they know what's going on and where the money is going. And the next park board meeting should be the 18th of December. You can call them up and find out from the city clerk. I'd suggest everybody attend. They moved them back over to the parks area because the room is a lot smaller. And Frank is absolutely correct. When we're asking for $6 million for Young Park, and they can't get a water fountain at the soccer fields or Apodaca Park. And you know, Frank, they had a swimming pool over there at Apodaca Park, and you wouldn't think it would be too hard to put in a line from the swimming pool, would you?
No, you're correct. In fact, the swimming pool has all the plumbing and all the sewer and everything for a restroom also. So the fix was about 2 years ago. They said, Mr. Bingham said that, well, we'll open the gate at Apodaca and you can walk over there and use their facility. But we found out that Apodaca, in fact, I even brought a picture today, the water fountain there is a rusted hollow shell hanging on the wall. And if you went there today, even though we've pointed this out to them and showed them a picture of it, that it's still there. So even if you don't want to put in a new one, at least stop the embarrassment of just leaving a rusted shell. Over at the kids' t-ball field, where the... go ahead.
Listen, thank you very much for your time. I'll let you go back to your host. I would suggest everybody go to a Parks and Recreation Board meeting. They're open to the public. And I would definitely suggest everyone look at the legislative amounts that our city is asking for non-transparent items. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
And I would just say that I second that thought. This is a democracy. The way that we petition our officials is by attending meetings. And obviously, if a whole bunch of people show up demanding change, the more people there, the more likely you are to get that kind of change. So I would second that notion.
I do believe the squeaky wheel works, but it has to work week after week, day after day, and that shouldn't be totally necessary for a professional organization. When it happens one time, I remember 2 years ago when we were talking about Frenzinger Park, mm-hmm. and we were going to have remodeling there and going to have some other remodeling in other parks. The council hired a consultant to come in from Albuquerque, hold public meetings. And when they had the public meeting, the community showed up and they were supposed to take a yellow sticker and put it on each project, which they thought was the most important to Las Cruces. And they did that. And I participated in that also. And it was overwhelmingly one was well over the other. Frenzinger was the winner big time to have all these new improvements. Well, nothing happened. So the person who did the survey and the contractor made off with all the money. The people's input was useless, and they didn't do anything there at Frenzinger except keep it like it was. So what happened? When we had a $750,000 grant from the federal through the state to the city for Apodaca rehab, what happened to it? The city didn't act on it, and that $750,000 was lost. And I have that documentation to show you that, and I'm sure this gentleman who was on the Parks Board also probably knows about that too. So it was totally lost. So what happens when these things I'm telling you don't happen? Nothing happens. They put in another recorder in another office. That's kind of a thing I want to slip in, because when the public calls in and we get these recorders and we can't even talk to a human anymore, we got to stop this. Because these things we want on the whiteboard, on the right-hand side, and we don't want you to erase them until you address them. We are the taxpayers. We pay your salaries. You know, we are the people, we are the living body of the city. We deserve some feedback. We deserve a callback. We deserve an email. Now, you can be vague in your email. You don't have to be specific. But you deserve the courtesy of an email, you know. And we don't like to have, when we bring up subjects, to say that the park will say, well, we'll send a person over to see if this, take a look at that. Wait a minute. You have that person's, you have people assigned to every little park facility. And they're supposed to be going over there inspecting. And we show them glaring safety hazard, glaring ADA hazard. Why isn't that person putting it on the whiteboard on the right-hand side? So, anyway, there's so much to talk about, but I appreciate Walt having it in, and maybe we'll have another discussion in the future. But I think it really would serve us well if we brought Mr. Bingham in, or someone else from the city, the mayor.
Yeah, I agree.
The city manager. These mm-hmm. are the people that run. These are the people that call the shots.
Yep, I agree. But you have started the discussion, and I'm sure it will not end here.